In this episode, discover how to sell to access restricted prospects, like everybody in the world right now.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Loss and despair. Loss and despair. It feels like it's everywhere. And it just crushes my heart to see the devastation that is happening. You know, we've entered a new world with a very unique challenge for business. Today, sales access. It's at an all-time low. And with prospects refusing or avoiding to interact with salespeople, that's a real problem. And sales organizations, committed to surviving this inevitable transition, are experiencing a mission-critical priority. But there are also huge opportunities available right now for consolidating market share. But you have to be quick to react because time is of the essence. And if your sales team is finding it difficult to book meetings with prospects, well, you got to know there's a better way. If your marketing team can't keep website visitors on your site long enough for them to understand your unique value, I can show you how to make your on-demand buying experience on your website friggin' binge-worthy. And since the coronavirus outbreak, I've been slammed teaching my three-part webinar series for businesses. The first webinar addresses the big picture, what's changing, the new rules for engaging prospects remotely, and senior leadership mindset. I do that in the first one. The second one is a marketing execution webinar, which helps your marketing team discover how to actually create the on-demand buying experience needed to pull prospects through your website and through your sales message. And moving through that, there's a third webinar where I train the sales team how to use the new marketing assets, how to engage prospects and keep them moving through the sales process. And I also show your sales team how to create personalized videos and then how to track on the back end who's watching, who's interested, so you could prioritize follow-up. You know, it's really interesting with so many people struggling. I'm super honored to do this for businesses, but I'm also feeling like I'm just not doing enough, like I should be standing up, like I should be screaming from the mountaintop and helping more people. So because I know there's a responsibility, a role that I'm supposed to play, I'm going to give you some of my biggest tricks on selling to access restricted prospects. But first, in the old business world, before content was on demand, you know, buyers needed salespeople to hold their hand and move them through the sales process. That, my friend, that's the old world. And for the past 10 years, I've been guiding startups and juggernauts to prepare their sales and their marketing teams for this inevitable shift from face-to-face sales to on-demand selling. And you know, the truth is, I don't have a crystal ball. I've just been really observant about how people are buying differently. And as a frequent listener to this podcast, I know you've gotten tipped off. You've been able to reposition yourself and the way that you sell. And I'm honored to guide you that way. And I'm actually obsessed with optimizing marketing and sales to increase revenue. It's like something my brain just keeps doing. And these unique insights have helped my clients dramatically increase the number of people that they can serve. Now, before I get too far ahead, I just can't watch all of this pain and suffering happening to my fellow man. So in this episode, I'm going to paint the picture for you of where your opportunity is to shine. And I'm also going to share how you can effectively prepare your business, how to pivot and prosper in this new world. And the truth is, preparing your business to sell remotely in our access-restricted world is actually a lot simpler than you might think. But before I get started, I need to warn you, the solution that I'm going to present is not like throwing one dart. You're not done and you're going to throw one dart and you're going to walk away, because the actual solution takes a little bit of digital strategy, some sales psychology, some marketing tactics, some simple web design, strategic copywriting, and some cool movie making techniques. All of those things you can do on your own. All of those things you have the ability to align inside of your own company and to get people moving in the right direction. And when you align your business for how your prospects prefer to buy, amazing things happen. Like the results our $3 billion client just got. More on their story in a moment. But I do want to caution you right here. I just want you to realize that when I say align your business for how your prospects prefer to buy, that's creating a sales process that goes through the path to least resistance. I'll tell you more about that also in a moment. But first things first, let's start where it matters. Is your family struggling? How's everybody doing? Right? Most people are struggling one way or another. Most families are struggling. Mine is. I know that for sure. I spoke with a dear friend on Friday who told me that it was the worst day of her professional career and that she had to lay off her entire team. And as a business owner, I've been humbled enough times by the business gods. And I know that during this crisis, it could have easily been me. And my company could have easily been stabilized. But fortunately, we just happened to be on the right side of two or three really strong quarters that just arrived in our business at the right time. So this information that I'm going to share with you today is going to help speed up your recovery. That's why I'm doing this. I need to be of service. I need to help. And I know that you can. And I know that you can take this information and jumpstart your business again. You know, in the past 3 weeks in the United States alone, 10 million people have been laid off. Basically, all the jobs in the U.S. that have been gained since 2015 have been lost. And my family isn't immune to it either. This hit us really close to home. I think I might be the only immediate member of my family that still has a consistently paying job. Right? And in my house, my wife normally works for a high-end resort spa in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is now shut down. More on her situation in a moment. But you'll also love how her resort has stepped up in this process because they just laid off 500 employees. We've been quarantined here in Arizona for a month. And I'm not complaining. I get it. This is the world we now live in. And I'm thankful that my entire Wirebuzz family is working from home and that they're safe and their families are safe. Like, that's a big deal to me, more than I thought it would be at the beginning, in all candor. But I feel like I'm a captain of a boat that needs to make sure that everybody gets to the other side safely. But all this disruption has made me think about the sustainability of business in general. And here's what you need to know, and I want you to write this down. Buyers don't want to talk with a salesperson. They didn't want to talk with a salesperson before the coronavirus. Write that down. Buyers didn't want to talk with a salesperson before the coronavirus. You need to know this, because if you're planning on going back to life as normal, you're going to underperform. I'll dig in on that also coming up. And whenever we could possibly circumvent a salesperson in our lives, we would do it. And it doesn't matter if you're buying something in a business to business scenario, you know, B2B or business to consumer, B2C. People prefer to go on their own journey. And now every business is trying to figure out how to shift from that old world where physical access was available to the new world where access to prospects is denied. Look, about 50% of my clients are in the medical space, selling to healthcare providers. And hospitals around the country have stopped salespeople from having physical access to their healthcare providers, right? And it totally makes sense. So to help you solve this mission-critical business problem, that's why I'm here. You know, think of me like like somebody who's just going to guide your marketing and sales team back to profitability. But here is the challenge. Everybody's refusing to interact with salespeople. You don't want to talk to salespeople, and neither do I. People would rather go on their own journey, which is exactly why Carvana is even possible. I mean, in what world is purchasing a car from a vending machine practical, right? Except in a world where buyers don't want to talk to salespeople. And the faster you come to that realization that buyers will navigate their own path to least resistance and they don't want to talk to salespeople, the quicker you will safely navigate and prosper in this new world. If your sales funnel relies on, let's say, events or in-office demonstrations or face-to-face meetings, you really have only two choices. One, you can ride it out, which is AKA give up, or you can adapt quickly, right? You got two choices, ride it out or adapt quickly. But in the business world that we're living in now, the obvious conclusion is businesses that rely on access to prospects, physical face-to-face access, will consistently underperform in this new world. We're not going back to the old world. We're stuck in the new world. It'll consistently underperform. And marketing and salespeople who need physical access to earn business, you know what's going to happen to them? The same exact thing. They're going to consistently underperform too. So how can I be so certain? Because the huge shift in buyer expectations happened years before toilet paper disappeared from our supermarket shelves. Before the coronavirus, 82% of buyers said that they didn't want to talk to a salesperson until they're ready to make a buying decision. And for sales organizations committed to surviving this challenge, the answer is obvious. Start transitioning to remote selling. This has always been the future, but just like the early bird getting the worm, businesses that have already transitioned to our remote selling strategies have been seeing remarkable results. COVID-19 just brought this transition to everybody's consciousness. And right before my eyes, the stuff I've been teaching for the last decade on stages across the world just became super friggin' trendy. If you don't believe remote selling is effective, a $3 billion client of ours sent me a text message in July of 2019, the day that their physical year ended. Here's my text. Dude, best year in 14 years. My reply, that's huge. So well-deserved. Awesome. Their reply, our CEO said, never in my 35 years have I seen a turnaround in this period of time and to this magnitude. You have left me in awe. Got to show you our trends. It's Harvard Business Review case studies. Thank you so much for your mentoring and friendship, Todd. You see, my strategies work for large and small businesses, but I need to tell you, small businesses have the advantage because they can adapt quicker. So in this time when David can kick Goliath's ass, here's where you get started. Most likely for your business, overhauling all of your systems is too slow to help with near-term revenue. You can plan to implement quickly, which requires getting your sales and marketing teams on the same page and rowing in the same direction. And now is that time. So the real question is, what can be done quickly enough to make an impact? And how can you get your entire team? And when I say your entire team, I don't mean the silo that you're in. I mean everybody, marketing, sales, leadership, your thought leaders. How can you get everybody rowing in the same direction? Because once everybody's got the same goal, Tony Robbins teaches, where our thoughts go, our energy flows. The solution is using digital techniques to accomplish the same objectives your sales team used to do in person. So don't fix what ain't broken. Your message still sells. All you have to do is understand you have the same objectives your sales team had to do in person. You just have to do it now with digital techniques. And your data still needs to go to market. Your product demos need to be given. They need to be seen. Pricing conversations still need to happen. The only thing that must change is how you deliver those messages. And let me say it again, don't fix what ain't broken. And the reason I'm pumping the brakes here and circling around on this spot, don't fix what ain't broken, is because when people are presented with change, it often feels too overwhelming. They get a paralysis analysis, stage fright, and they crawl back into their shell. Your message still sells. It's already been proven and tested in front of prospects. The only thing that must change now is how and where you deliver those messages. That's it. That shouldn't be overwhelming. So now is the time for open-mindedness. And your team must be prepared to learn these new skills and rise to the challenge. And when I look back at my career, when I just turn around and I look back at the moments in my career when I needed to learn something new, or, you know, those are often the moments that I'm the most proud of. Right? What about you? What are your professional moments that you are most proud of? And I'm willing to bet that it's when you innovated because you needed to in order to stay alive or to claim more territory or to grow your budgets or to ask for that raise that you rightfully deserved. The moments that you are most proud of are the ones where you innovate and you rise to the challenge, right? Of course it is. If you're a small company and you're struggling to imagine how your less resources is going to actually make it easier for your business than a big company would experience going through a transition like this. Well, during my last webinar, late last week, I had a webinar with a $2 billion company. They had 200 people on the call, 200 people, including the president of the company. And they gave me every possible reason why they couldn't adjust to the new world. Now, I suspect they brought up these issues because we needed to break silos. That's often what I'm asked to do. Demonstrate the flaw, show how to break the silo, and move people on. And when I told them they needed to create customer journey pages so prospects go down their own rabbit hole on a self-guided buyer's journey, I was told, quote, Todd, marketing doesn't own the page layouts. Okay, that's pushback. That's silos. One silo saying, we actually can't do that because we don't have those that right. These are the problems that big businesses have that small businesses don't. This is how David kicks Goliath's ass. When I mentioned how using the YouTube player on their website puts their business at a disadvantage, especially in this new world, because when a visitor watches a YouTube video on your site and it clicks on your embedded video player, it takes that visitor back to YouTube, and you already paid for that traffic. It doesn't give your sales team the covert insights on which prospects are watching your videos. And when I shared that tip, the big company resource, the big company response of how their resources were allocated was, quote, our IT team is in charge of video player decisions, Todd. And so business leads in scenarios like that, they typically wash their hands and move on because breaking down their big company silos is too painful or impossible to navigate. And that is a recipe for disaster. And it reminds me of former U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, who said, the future doesn't belong to those who are timid and fearful in the eyes of new and bold projects. It doesn't. The future doesn't belong to those people who are too scared to break down the silo, even when they know it's the right thing to do. And part of my job is to help businesses break down those silos that no longer serve them, because once you connect and get everybody rowing in the same direction, amazing transformations happen. Like the $3 billion company that had its fastest revenue in 14 years. And I know you have been feeling the same way. Like there's a lot of new information, a lot of new strategies, tools, tactics, content. And I know that can be overwhelming. I totally get it. I get stifled often. I totally do. But it is my job to persevere, especially in a time of crisis. You know, a leader doesn't wash their hands and say, that technology is a decision for another team. A couple of little tactics go a whole long way. A leader builds a bridge from one silo to the other and says, when they knock on that silo wall to the other team, 10 million people got laid off in the last 3 weeks. Can we quickly modify our rules so we can serve our clients and stay in business? That's what a leader does who isn't timid or fearful in the eyes of new and bold projects. If physical access to prospects is denied, that doesn't mean we take our toys home and refuse to play. It means we roll up our sleeves and strategically prepare for the new ways that we're going to keep everybody employed. Yeah, I've got at least five clients that are juggernaut size that had red tape and problems and silos and everything. So what did we do? Our job is to help them achieve their goal. So we circumvented their company's red tape by building microsites because the new microsites didn't fall under the purview of the red tape of all of the other departments that can't make decisions quickly. But was it worth it? Of course it was, because the website is now prepared to pull prospects through their sales journey pages and to sell for the new world. Leadership has always been about tackling tough problems and developing creative solutions. And it totally makes sense. You know, doing the right thing is often the hardest decision until we make it. And then you know what the right decision is? The one that when you make the decision, you don't second guess it. You don't continue to process it. You made the right decision, it resonates with you, and then you move on. Retaining employees isn't the only tough decision today. I mean, it's the one that sits on everybody's heart the longest. It's the one that gives us zits. But we also have to make sure that we can afford those employees. Even before COVID-19, buyers were becoming resistant to salespeople. Busyness and sales fatigue, combined with an abundance of information at our fingertips and choice, resulted in salespeople losing power over information. You know, if the salesperson isn't the one that's chumming it up, doing it in person, guiding people through the sales process, and answering their questions, you still have to do those tasks. And the origins of buyer resistance is something that I'm actually really, really, I'm kind of interested in. Like, where did this whole concept of resistance to salespeople be traced back to? Well, I think of two things. One, used car salesman, right? Like, that's the obvious. Who made everyone aware that interacting with salespeople was the path to maximum resistance? Used car salespeople. And the second origin of buyer resistance to salespeople has to do with the content marketing revolution, which started around 2004 and gave all of us access to information at our fingertips on demand when we wanted it, which created a low resistance sales experience and access to product and service information at our fingertips on demand the way we want it. And when given a choice, just like kayaking down a rushing river, buyers will consistently select the path of least resistance. It is in our DNA. It's when you look at a kayaker, he's not going upstream. That's too much resistance, dude. He's not going over rocks. He's going around them. Your sales process needs to understand the laws of nature because they're in play. Because your prospects flow through the path of least resistance. It is in our DNA. Today, salespeople prefer to go down their own rabbit hole buyer's journey. It is easier on them, and it happens on their time, not somebody else's. The online buyer can still feel resistant or irritation as they go through it, and that typically happens when the buyer's journey on the website doesn't address important areas of interest. Like pricing. Like, if you need an example, if you don't see pricing on a website, does that make you want to call their sales team and ask questions? Or does it make you lose trust, make you lose interest right away? Because, man, if I don't see pricing for your service, I'm freaking gone. Off to another provider's website where I start the journey all over again until somebody, please, answers my questions on my terms through my path to least resistance, the questions that I need to know before I'm willing to raise my hand and talk to a salesperson. And it reminds me of a younger version of myself when I was a know-it-all leader, because I was for a long time. It was the shell that I put up as a young leader. And I found my strategy team's recommendations. They kept coming up to me with this recommendation, and they kept saying, hey, we should be putting pricing on our website. For like 3 years, they kept saying this to me. And I was a know-it-all leader at that time. And now I'm at this point where I've learned to just question every assumption, especially my own. And I'd say stuff to them like, I can't put pricing on our website. Every project is totally customizable. Everything's different. But when I finally caved in, like somebody said to me, dude, you don't get it. Just put a small, medium, and large pricing. You'll customize everything, but give them some vague boundaries like grande, vente, tall. And when I finally caved and provided rough estimate pricing on my website, you know what happened? The path to least resistance. People that I was trying to sell to started buying from me faster. A humble leader who's obsessed with serving prospects' needs would have identified that earlier. Question every assumption, especially your own. Holding back vital information hurts you more than it helps. It doesn't create leverage in the sales process like it does in face-to-face experiences unless the prospects are ready to buy. And for everyone else, it breeds resistance, mistrust, and a high bounce rate. Holding back that information is a mistake in today's world. And yet information withholding it's still commonplace in traditional sales industries. So what information have you been relying on your salespeople to deliver in person? What is that? Is it pricing? I'm sure there's a bunch of other things. You know, like when my strategy nerds start with a client, we typically spend time in these common culprits like product demonstrations, or pricing models, or terms, or how about implementation procedures? That's a big one. Anything you're worried competitors might steal, that's also an irritation area. So you don't put it on the site, but guess what? They already have it. Your competitors already have access to this information because half of their team used to work at your office. It's all incestuous. And don't forget, if people don't want to talk with a salesperson until they're ready to buy, you have to explain on your website why your competitor's solution is inferior. You have to do that. It's the icky parts of the sales conversation that used to happen in person, in quiet conversations in a closed door, needs to now happen on your website. Why? Because 82% of buyers before the coronavirus said they don't want to talk to a salesperson until they're ready to buy. So you have to provide that information if you want to create the path to least resistance, which I know you do. We aren't in that old world anymore. Now you can't rely on your salespeople to do the dirty work face to face. Remember, salespeople aren't getting access like they used to. And if you don't discuss the competition on your site, your potential buyer will continue on their own research journey until your competitor teaches them why your solution isn't the best option. And on your journey pages, anytime you have to deliver vital information, you should always do it with a video. Why? Because reading's hard, dude. Watching a video is effortless. And to prove my point, people are 4 times more likely to watch a video than to read text. and they're 85% more likely to buy. Boom. You know, one of my many secrets is getting your best salesperson or spokesperson on camera. And have them explain the tricky bits you've always delivered in person. And in most cases, that best salesperson has already optimized your path to purchase. Remember, their responses through your, run your responses through your regulatory team if you need. But do it quickly. The old world, the regulatory team would take their sweet ass time. That doesn't happen anymore. Priorities are on revenue generation. Everything else, secondary. So run those responses through your regulatory team, do it quickly, and get the videos in the hands of your sales team más rápido. Now, did you notice there that I said quickly? Like, get your videos into your sales team's hands quickly. People's jobs are on the line. Don't burn precious time debating nuance. Take your best guess. Circle back and make upgrades later. In fact, compiling everything you think your sales team will need to replicate is where to get started. I want you to think about that sequence digitally. Like, maybe the answer is a Zoom call. Or perhaps it's a pre-recorded demonstration with an automated follow-up, a drip sequence. Whatever makes sense for your business, your marketing team needs to take your sales message, that sequence, and transfer it digitally. Now, if I could, I'd like to dispel a myth. Typically, when I'm teaching rooms full of salespeople how to create killer personalized videos that they can do in just minutes. And people think of that as like, cool, we use these for early stage awareness stuff. Okay, I get it. Cool. But I want you to know that video's important in the early stage. It's also crucial in the late stage of sales. For example, Vidyard recently reported that 75% of late stage prospects, meaning they're close to buying, that received a personalized video from the salesperson became a customer. 75% of those late stage prospects. Why? Because it's the ultimate human touch in a remote world where you don't have access. It provides validation that these people are real. It helps because the salesperson knows where that prospect is and knows what their sticking point is and knows the questions that have come up in an earlier conversation, or knows what content they've watched multiple times and can look at the data on that individual prospect and then do an immediate follow-up. Say, hey, John, I noticed you were going through the material on implementation. I wanted to talk with you about the easy tricks to implementation and how we can get you started right away. So I created this quick video for you where I showed you that how to get implemented. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. And before you know it, no-brainer. They got the attention, the prospect got the attention that they needed. They visually saw the last missing pieces and it pulled them right through to the bottom of the sales process where they became a customer and handed over money. Right? That's a beautiful thing when it happens. It's like the harmonic convergence. It's when your marketing strategy and your sales execution converted to create a customer, and the heavens opened up, and money ended up in your hand. If you want to learn more about remote sales in this new world, how to rocket like a boss for your team, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. Let me give that to you again. wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. And by now, I'm sure you have enough information to create these powerful customer journeys, pages, and to use text sparingly. You know, I've done a bunch of this in the podcast. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that today. But I want you to know that if you need help, we're here for you. That's why we created that website. It's why I stood up today to make sure that I re-recorded this podcast episode because I wrote something completely different that'll pop up later on. But after I was done writing it, I thought, oh my God, what people really need from me now is leadership, is vision, is to show them where the road is going. And so I moved this episode up so you can learn more about how to sell remotely. Wirebuzz.com/remote-sales is where that journey begins. And I will continue to do my job. Work from home. I'm actually standing at the foot of my bed right now, pacing back and forth, holding my iPhone with a Shure MV88 mic plugged in. It is my travel mic. And I am rocking this podcast, but I want you to know I'm here for you, that I understand what you're going through. I know it is difficult, but I believe that you have the ability to ride this moment and to turn it into something great. Because when you look back at this quarantine phase in your life, you will look back and say, that was the time that I made the determination that I started building the company around remote sales, where my sales team continued to engage prospects, but they used these video assets and customer journey pages with back-end tracking for us to be able to service our prospects the way they want to buy. It is about them, not you. They want to go through their path to least resistance. All you have to do is present the information that they need to have the certainty to reach out to the salesperson and make a purchase. And all of that is within your abilities. Wirebuzz.com/remote-sales is where you get started. And on behalf of the Wirebuzz team, we wish you great health. We wish you prosperity, the opportunity to grow. And we're so grateful to be a part of that trusted advisor network in your life. Be safe, be healthy, take good care of your family, and continue to grow. Peace.